Good morning again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, open our eyes this morning. We come before you with a request that we see you, that we see your Son. Father, we come before you humbly, open our eyes to the truth of your word, that we might know you more clearly. That's our prayer this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever been wronged? And I mean really wronged. Have you ever been hurt to the point of where you say, I just want that person to pay? I can't believe they've done this to me. They need to be injured. If you've been there, you understand the depth of what could be anger, but what could be a sense of justice as well. I talked to a coworker recently who said, I have a hard time believing that God can just forgive people, just like that. They told me, you mean God just forgives people the bad things? If you knew the things that I knew, you'd have a hard time believing that too. That God can just forgive somebody for doing that? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And I don't think that person is alone. I think there are many who cannot fathom the idea of salvation by grace through faith. And that truth that seems so precious to many of you in this room is so foreign to so many. I can't buy it, they said. I just can't buy it. This is what the message of the cross is. It is folly to those who are not saved, to those who are not being saved. And as we go through 1 Corinthians beginning next month, we'll begin to look at this idea of foolishness in the eyes of the world. But this morning, we come together to look at the idea that it is faith alone that brings us pardon for our sin. Can you buy it? Can you buy it? If you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been talking about sola scriptura, and we're making our way through the five solas. And we have a graphic that shows a building that is built on the ideas that we have of the five solas. And you look here, you see the foundation of sola scriptura. All of the truths that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks have to do with ideas we find in the scripture. That the scripture alone is sufficient to communicate to us from God what he wants us to understand and know about who he is. And in those themes and ideas and truths that God has given us are three fundamental things that really help us to understand our ultimate goal. And the three fundamental things we'll be looking at this over the next 3 weeks are sola fide. Faith alone brings us justification before God. It's foreign to many, but precious to many as well. Grace alone. It is by grace that God saves. The nature and character of who God is that brings salvation. Solus Christos. It is through Christ alone that we are saved, through the person of Jesus Christ. That's going to be a fun one. And all of these truths lead to the great theme of what we are, to the pinnacle of this building, the roof. Soli Deo Gloria. The whole purpose of it all is to bring glory and point us to heaven. Or point us, I love in the picture, point us to the cross. Today, sola fide. And I'm going to give you another a theme, and we have another graphic here that I'm going to show you. And I like these things because I'm a very visual person, and these things help me understand. But the idea of this morning of sola fide is this little phrase that I was hoping you could remember because it has lots of F's in it, and it's this: the Father forgives through faith that follows. And we're going to look at the idea that I want to convey is it is the Father who forgives us. And it's through a certain kind of faith, a faith that follows. The Father forgives us through a faith that follows him. We'll look at those ideas this morning and see if that's where the Scripture leads us. That's where the Scripture has led me. Now, these ideas of the solas were first put into thought and expressed through a man named Martin Luther, many of them, or made clear to most through Martin Luther. Martin Luther, and we've talked about him a little bit, he came and posted the 95 Theses on the door of the church there in Wittenberg. And the ideas that he was getting across was there are problems within the church. There's something wrong within the church. And Martin Luther said, I'd like to fix these issues. These are things we've got to fix. One of those teachings that Martin Luther did not like was the idea of purgatory. And that idea that there's a place in which people go to pay for their sin. And to the mind of Martin Luther, who believed when he read the Scripture that it taught that payment of sin had been taken care of by the person of Jesus Christ. How could we go and pay for our sin when Jesus Christ has already paid for them? Martin Luther objected to the idea that a man's good works would bring him grace so that he could be given eternal life. That looked more like a transaction that would happen in the store rather than a gift of God. Martin Luther began to first put forth the idea, but continued to make known the idea of forensic justification. Forensic justification. Now, how many of you watch the crime shows on TV? Anybody? Any crime show TV? Okay. You understand forensics and what they are then. What you are trying to do is create a place and time. You're trying to say, this is what happened at the crime scene. It's forensics. And I do it in the computer world too. You have forensic backups. At a place and time, this is what the data looked like. Well, what forensic justification is the idea that I would affirm? And it is this, that at a place and time, someone is made right, made righteous, made just in the eyes of God. And it is a once for all transaction. As a person believes by faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, their heart is transformed and made new. That forensic action takes place, and that person, that child of God, is made right in the eyes of God. And Martin Luther believed this. But the church did not. They believed that justification happened over a period of times and ins and outs and transactions that would happen over a person's life that would let them grow in justification. And Martin Luther says, I don't see that in the Scripture. Oddly enough, Martin Luther read Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 2 years after he pounded those 95 theses in the door of the church. 2 years later, he sat down to read through the Scripture. And Romans 1:16, which is what you read this morning, Steve, he read that, and in his own words, he said, I was born again by the truth that faith alone justifies me. 2 years after he begins to try his reform of the church, Martin Luther says, I was born again by the idea that it was only my faith that could bring me and make me forensically justified in the eyes of God. The transaction happened, he said. It was overwhelming. And let me read that passage to you again that Steve read this morning. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Not what I do, but the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who, what church? Believes. Martin Luther gets here and he says, it must be my faith. It must be me believing that makes me right in the eyes of God, that saves me. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. To everyone who believes. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. How can God set someone right If you don't buy the idea that God can justify someone and make someone right and forgive someone, this is where you go. Because what he says is, the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith, for faith. Meaning, it doesn't have to do with what that person has or hasn't done in life. It is what Jesus has done that makes that person right in the eyes of God. It is revealed, the righteousness of Jesus has been revealed to his people through faith. And Martin Luther would say it like this. Well, let me finish the verse. I'll tell you how Martin Luther said it. He said, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And here's what Martin Luther said. He said, he who through faith is righteous shall live. He who through faith is righteous shall live. I do not belittle the idea that you cannot buy that someone could be forgiven for the heinous crimes that have been done. I do not belittle that one bit. But as a believer, I must go past what someone has done and come to what Jesus has done. Because if I focus on what man has done, what bad things he's done, then I'm missing the revelation of the righteousness of God. And forensic justification cannot do a thing because I'm just focusing on what man has done. My eyes must be turned away from my own deeds and their own deeds and be turned to the cross. And when my eyes turn to the cross, it says, behold what he has done. He can cover my sin. He can cover their sin. Behold the work of the Son of God. Y'all still with me, church? Why was this such a passion of Martin Luther? Why did it matter to him so much that we are justified, forensically justified, by faith alone? Does it matter to you? Do you care? Man, how many of you walked in here this morning and said, oh no, I'm not righteous enough? How many of you in the last few days have said, you know, I've really got some issues. My sinfulness. And I know that some of you in this room have. But my fear is most of us have not. We have not come before and said, I have got to be cleansed. I was disrespectful. I was ugly. I was unfaithful. I was fill in the blank. Many of us will come with the idea that, well, but you know, I did this, and I did a box for Operation Christmas Child, and I did something nice for somebody, and I gave to the guy on the side of the road, and I helped a lady across the street. I listened to a podcast, and there's a section on this podcast called Witness Wednesday, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Man goes around and he shares the gospel with people. A lot of times on a college campus or somewhere around. And many times he shares the gospel with people, and as he's sharing, he says, you know, do you think you're a good person? And you rarely hear people say, no, I'm not a good person. I do more good things than bad things. And then you come to the scripture, and you come to people who have given their life to doing things in the temple to fix their sin. And you come to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, when it says, we have all become like one who's unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. All of the good deeds we do, they're not good in the eyes of God if they're not in faith. Paul said in Romans, apart from faith, it's wickedness in the eyes of God. Because it's self-exalting. So Martin Luther comes and he says, well, if it's not by faith alone, it's a problem. Why did Martin Luther care? Do you care? Does it bother you that someone can say, well, the good things I do can earn me eternal life? Bothered the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. Listen to Paul's words to a group of people who have said, you know, it's not just faith that saves you, it's faith plus circumcision. It's faith plus doing something that will save you. And listen to Paul's words to this church in Galatia. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and have turned to a different gospel. It's a different gospel, he says, when it's not by faith in the work of Jesus, but it's by faith plus doing good things. He says it's a different gospel. In chapter 2, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In chapter 3 of Galatians, he says this, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. In other words, if you want your works to secure your heaven, you're under the curse. You can't do enough. And Martin Luther reads this and he says, this cannot be. Why is the church teaching that work will get me heaven? This cannot be. Verse 11 of Galatians chapter 3 says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. There it is again. Same passage from Romans 1:17. Those who have been made right by faith. Why does it matter? Let me ask, why does it matter? Why does sola fide matter? Well, I'll ask you in a question. I'll answer in a question. Does it matter when you're pulled over on the side of the road in Brule because you're going too fast? And you're standing there before the officer and you say, but officer, I kept the speed limit in Plaquemine. Come on. I say, you're guilty, man. You're guilty. Here's the biblical principle. Without righteousness, you will not see God. Listen to two Bible verses I'm going to give you. Two verses. Without righteousness, you will not see God. You're unrighteous on the side of the road when the flashing lights are around you and the officer's going, you know how fast you were going? You're unrighteous. And you will not be clean before the law with unrighteousness. And what the Bible says is, without righteousness, you won't even see God. How can we be in heaven without the righteousness? How can we see God apart from righteousness? Listen to what he says. Hebrews 12:14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will what?
See the Lord.
A couple of you are listening. Without the holiness for without which no one will see the Lord. Jesus said the same thing in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If there is a righteousness that has been applied to us, we can see the face of God. So I have a question for each of you. Are you content where you are? Or do you want to see God? Are you content with the mud pies of this world? Are you content with the simple pleasures of this world? Or do you have a craving and an inner desire to see God? Do you have a craving and desire to be forgiven of your guilt and shame? We sang this morning the first hymn that Jesus forgives sinners. Oh, sinner, do you want to see God? Do you want to know Him? Do you want to be made right in His eyes? And let me share with you, you cannot do anything to fix yourself. And that is foolishness in the eyes of the world. You get a ticket on the side of the road, you pay the ticket, now you're right in the eyes of God. You fix it yourself. Or you call the guy that you know at the office, police office, right? And say, hey, can you take care of that for me? But you fix it. You cannot fix yourself in the eyes of God. There's nothing you can do. And this is where Martin Luther had such an issue. Nothing can be done. No money can be given. No candle can be lit. No, nothing can be done. No prayer can be prayed to fix me. It would be like you pulling, me saying, you know, the national debt is now $26 trillion, and you pulling out your wallet and going, wait, how much is it? I can take care of that. Well, my sins are not so bad, and most people are worse than I am. But it's not the value of your sin, it's the value of the one you sinned against that makes your sin so bad. You see the difference? It's not the thing that you've done, it's the one you've offended that makes your sin so great. It makes it the $26 trillion sin. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. For no one understands. No one seeks after God. I told you Martin Luther would sit for hours in confession and say, I've had impure thoughts, I've had impure motives, I've done impure things. He understood the weight of sin. And when someone came to him and said, look, you just pay this. You just do this good deed. You just do this church service and everything will be okay. Martin Luther said, no, it's not okay. And he came to the Word. He came to the Scripture. And he read these words. Romans chapter 3. He read them and they penetrated his mind. And he said, there must be another way. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God has been made known, been manifest apart from the law, apart from the things I do. Although the law and the prophets, they bear witness to it. They tell us about it. The righteousness of God through what, church?
Faith.
Through faith. The Father forgives through faith. The Father forgives through faith. The Father forgives through faith, not the deeds, through the faith. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. You know this word, quote it with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know it. And are justified and are forensically justified and are made right by His grace as a gift. Not as a return for the work you've done. That would be wages, he says in chapter 6. But you're made right because God is giving you a gift of gracious justification. He's giving you the righteousness that you need. Martin Luther goes in his room and he says, I'm not righteous, God. I'm not righteous before you. I am unrighteous. I'm guilty. And the Father gives him the Word. that says you are righteous through faith in the Son of God. You are righteous through the work of my Son. It is a gift to you. And Martin Luther turns and says, then why are they selling it? And friends, I turn to you and say, then why are we buying it? Why are we trying to buy rightness in the eyes of God instead of coming through the Son, Jesus Christ, and saying, Lord, none of my deeds are righteous before you. I come before you in grace. Forgive me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 25. Whom God put forward as a propitiation, a payment by his blood. The $26 trillion payment by his blood. To be received, how, church? The Father forgives through faith. The Father forgives through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has what? Salvation is a work completely of God. He is the one who is the just judge, and he is the one who justifies before the just judge. It is all a work of God. So pause for a moment. Pause and think about this. Your salvation is a gift of the riches of God to you who deserves not the riches of God. It is the $26 trillion payment in your account when your wallet is empty and you're jobless and you have no income. Forensically justified. You are not earning your righteousness in the eyes of God. He has given those to you. And you say, well, preacher, that's good, but it's not practical. So you're telling me the evidence of God making the most absurd payment on your behalf when you deserved it not does nothing in your soul to let you practically live out Christianity and to love him more and to love your brothers and sisters? And I say that if you do not respond from this transaction taking place in worship, in awe, and in deeds, in good deeds, then you do not understand the transaction that took place. You need to focus on who you are before God and come to the place where Martin Luther, where you say, oh God, I truly in my heart am wicked and unworthy. Because I'm afraid that many of us come before this God and say, well, it's just like a $10 transaction. It's no big deal. The Father forgives through faith. The Father forgives through faith. So my next question is this for you. Does it matter what kind of faith? Sola fide. Just believe. Does it matter what kind of faith that we have? You've heard James said, he said, you believe that there is one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe and tremble. You've seen Jesus interacting with People who believed and then walked away because fear of rejection of men. We see the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. You almost convinced me. See, Simon the sorcerer come. Oh man, there's power. I'm gonna start driving out demons with this power that you have, Paul. They believe that there's something big about God and something right about God. Is that enough? Is believing that God exists enough? Church, answer me. No. No. No, no, 1,000 times, no. The Father forgives through faith that follows. It is a faith that is willing to follow Him, to seek Him, to know Him. You know it, you've heard it, you can quote it. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? And follow me. You know somebody who believes there's a God but is unwilling to follow Jesus? Oh wait, Jesus said straight and narrow? I don't know about that. And so Jesus gets reinvented into new Jesus and user-friendly Jesus. The pathway gets broader and broader, doesn't it? Well, Jesus didn't really mean that. Or he didn't really say that. It's a new Jesus. We need to be relevant with Jesus. The Father forgives through faith that follows. In 1 John, we read this, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, if we dwell with Him, saving faith is one that has fellowship, one that knows God. It's a faith that follows and pursues God to know Him. The Father forgives through faith that follows. And the following does not stop. Let me read to you a passage, Galatians 2:20. I already read it. But he says, as I've been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's a continual living by faith. The Father forgives through faith that follows. The kind of faith matters. Let me give you one more thought. The forensic justification of God comes to those who seek and follow Him. And who continue to follow Him. But lest we say, oh, see, it does depend on what we do. See, it depends on what we do. Let me say this. In the end, it is not about us getting to God, friends, but it is about God reaching down to us. Emmanuel will see that God with us over this Christmas season. Emmanuel, God with us. The Father forgives through faith that follows. So let me explain a little practically how this works. Faith is the pipeline, if you will. Some of y'all work at the pipeline. Jeff, okay, you know what a pipeline does. It is the vehicle in which something precious flows through. Gas, oil, whatever it may be. There is a pipeline that transfers that which is valuable from one place to the next. Friends, think of faith this way. Faith is our pipeline. It is the means by which the Spirit of God fills us with everything that is good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things are filling us through our faith in God. The Spirit of God fills us. The Father forgives through faith that follows. If we break the pipeline, if we fracture it, we have issues. And that's what sin does so many times. It breaks our fellowship with God. For a believer, you can't be unsaved, but you can have your fellowship fractured by faithlessly doing things we ought not to, by believing truths that are against God's truth. So as you walk out of here today, my prayer and my hope and my prayer for me is, oh God, may I walk by faith. May the just shall live by faith. I've been justified in the eyes of God, but I want to live the life of faith. So God, help me live the life of faith. Oh God, help me. Final question. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He paid the sin debt that you owed? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that Jesus' death is enough? Can you buy it? Can you affirm the truth that Jesus is enough, that Christ is enough for me? Do you believe that Jesus was buried, that He rose from the grave, and He offers us new life, and that by faith, if we would receive it, we can know God? Do you believe that the Father forgives through faith that follows? Friend, if you don't know Jesus, you believe. You come and you receive the work of His Son. And be born again unto new life, a new life that follows Him. Be born again, friend. You pray right now. Oh, Father, forgive me. I believe You and I follow You. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, for those wrestling with salvation, bring truth, enlighten their hearts, and awaken the soul to the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we seek to live by faith, it is faith alone. It is not what we do, but it's faith alone that help us to trust and know that You forgive us, even the vilest of sinners and the vilest of sins You forgive. Oh God, awaken us to these truths that we might glory in Your name. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.